chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 28. I thought since we're coming up on our Easter season that next few Sundays we're going to take a look at a little series that's called Lessons Learned on the Road to Calvary. Lessons Learned on the Road to Calvary that will take us right up into Easter Sunday morning. And so I want us to think about that this morning. Think about the things that Jesus taught as we celebrate these last days leading up to His crucifixion and burial and then His resurrection, just things that He taught us. And so I want us to think this morning about greatness in the kingdom is the title of our message. Greatness in the kingdom. And so we'll be looking at Matthew 20, 20 through 28. And let's all stand and reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. The Word of God says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Him with her sons kneeling down and asking something from Him. And He said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to Him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They said to Him, 'We are.' And so He said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom is prepared for my Father.' And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many.'" Let's pray. Father, for just a few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name. Don't let the words of a man go forth, but let God's words go forth. Touch our hearts right where we need it. God, I pray most of all that Christ will be glorified and that Your word will be gone out and not return void like Your word said. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about this idea of greatness in the kingdom. You know, we live in a proud and an egotistical world. In fact, if you think about it, we're actually applauded for pushing and promoting ourselves. That's a virtue. In fact, it's one of the greatest virtues in our culture today. And if we're not careful, we teach our own kids that. I'm guilty of that as a father in saying, "Hey, you got to go out there and get it. You can't wait for it to come to yourself," and you teach them it's all about you. If we're not careful, we'll buy into that. It's all about, in our culture today, it's all about self-esteem. You've got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Is that what the Scripture teaches us? About loving ourselves. In fact, our mission statement, "Love God and love others," doesn't say anything about loving ourselves, does it? Greatest commandments that Jesus has given us is to love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You say, "What do you mean?" You don't have no problem loving yourself, okay? None of us do. And so I want us to keep this in mind. And so actually, this is not an Donnie and Sunday school lesson today. Always love our Sunday school. God just brings it together in the lessons, and I see His work. And you can't manufacture it. You know, it's not like your pastor's got this great mind and he can do all these things. It's God! And He brings all these messages together. And the Sunday school lesson was today. I was thinking, He was talking about our nation. And do you understand that the things that are going on in America is not something new? We can study history and our ancient civilizations and think about a couple just as biblical, the Greeks, the Romans, great nations, man. They conquered the known worlds. And what happened to them? They became full of pride, egotistical. In fact, it became individualism. Does everybody hear that? Your culture pushes that on you. It became not about the whole society working together people in harmony, but it became individuals, and your individual rights superseded everything else. And what happened to the Greeks and the Romans? They fell. Can we not learn from history? Even if a person is not biblically based, can they not learn from history that we cannot all be about self and self-promoting? It's not about that, but it's about society functions together in harmony when men and women work together for a common purpose. Let me tell you, the church needs that today more than anything else. That common purpose is to bring glory to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That will get us over all our selfishness and our pride and our all wanting our own way if we keep that focus and we work in harmony. We are God's children. God's people. And so we can see, listen, Jesus is on the road to Calvary. Man, when we're reading in our lesson today, he's just outside of Jericho, 15 miles from his destination. He's headed for Jerusalem to give his life, and we'll celebrate at Easter. That's the road that he's on. He taught some marvelous lessons on that road. And one of these today is no greater is the greatness. What does God consider greatness to men and women? What is greatness in the kingdom? I want us to look at that today. And I want us to think about a couple principles as it comes, or truths that have to do with greatness in the kingdom. And first I want us to see a couple things here. Man's way of greatness, and that is verses 20 through 25. Man's way of greatness. And look what it says. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking him something. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right-hand side and one on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink that cup that I'm about to drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with?" They said to him, "We're able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers and the Gentiles lord it over, and those that are great exercises over them." Now listen to what he's saying. Jesus had predicted, listen, please understand the context of these verses. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus had predicted the third and the last time of what was going to happen to him when he got to Jerusalem. Listen to what it says. "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and be delivered him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and be crucified. And the third day he will rise again." Third and final time, he says, this is what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem. It never fails. It seemed like every time he said it, you know what happens? There's a little argument breaks out between the disciples. Who's going to be the greatest? Here's the sad part. Right up to the Last Supper, right up to the very last hours of Jesus' life with them, they argued about that. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And so I want us to see this just this morning, that something that happened, the next sequence, it says then, so we know this is the next sequence right after Jesus has proclaimed this again, that he's going to Jerusalem, that he's going to die and be crucified. But he'll resurrect again. So right after this, we see that it says then. That's the next sequence. And I want you to see that there are different ways that man likes to get ahead. You're all going to understand this. Why? It's all part of our life. First, I want to see the power play. So what are you talking about? Look at verses 20 through 21. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons comes to Jesus. Now, who was the mother of Zebedee's sons? That's James and John. That was Salome. You know who that was? That was Annie Salome. That was Mary's sister. So that makes James and John first cousins to Jesus. Now we all know the power play, don't we? We all know that if you're going to get ahead, it's not really how intelligent you are or how much education you got. It's who you know. Man, you've got to get that person. I want that job. Hey, let's get Aunt Salome to go down and ask the CEO if we can have that position. That'll get it for us. The power play. That's how man gets ahead in today's world. want you to see it at Salome here. And she took a lead role. So you got to think old James and John had thought about this. And she's thinking, he's thinking, man, this is Mary. This is Jesus' mother's sister. You know that he loves his mama and he loves Aunt Salome. Let's get her to ask him this that's coming up. It's the power play. It's who you know. And I want you to see, that's what gets you ahead in man's idea. Salome came to persuade Jesus to give her two sons the highest place of honor in his kingdom. One of the most common tactics that we use is our influence of family and friends to our own advantage. And I want you to look at her posture. What did she do? She came kneeling down. She was reverent to Jesus. She had reverence for her request, and listen to what she says. Grant that these two sons of mine sit one on your right hand and on the other on your left when you come into your kingdom. Please, now listen, don't miss this. I know I'll be pretty hard on Salome here and the two boys, but please listen to her request. It's a request of what? Faith. What are you saying? She recognized that the kingdom, Jesus would usher in the kingdom, did she not? Even though she was misplaced on how it all worked, they all were. She still recognized Jesus as the Messiah and that the kingdom would be ushered in by him. So it's a request of faith. Don't miss that. But it doesn't matter how misplaced that it is. It's still, she recognizes him as the Messiah and they expected the kingdom to come. You see, here's the deal. The problem was that they heard his prediction and they didn't grasp exactly what he says. They just know, hey, listen, we're going to Jerusalem. The kingdom's coming. And in their mind, their preconceived notion had overruled the reality of that hour, okay? And that's what we'll do. We get preconceived notions about things, and most of the times it'll overrule the reality of God's Word. It can never do that. And so she comes to make this request because she thinks, man, the kingdom's going to be ushered in. This is what it meant to them. The Romans are going to be kicked out. Jesus is going to be king, and I want both of my boys sitting right beside of him. That's as simple as you could put it. That's what she expected. She didn't realize the cost that was getting ready to happen or grasp the cost. Neither did them, and we'll see that in just a minute. But you know what? The Zebedees wanted to be ready. They wanted to be ready, didn't they? They want to be prepared. They want to be a good boy scout. Man, you got to be ready for anything. You got to be ready. When that opportunity and that door opens, you got to get in there and take it. Nobody else will. They won't do it for you. Use mama. Use whatever stepping stone you got to get ahead. Greatness in man's eyes. It doesn't work in the kingdom that way. I want you to see something. You can have faith. She had faith. You can have reverence. She had the right posture before Christ. But you can still be self-seeking. Listen to me close, church. We can cloak all day long, coming to church, loving God and loving others. But we can have self-centeredness at our heart in every decision and everything that we do. We have to weigh our motives out. Salome, the mother, you know what? You say, well, what's in it for her? It's just a mama loving her boys. She could stand there one day and say, that's my boys. Mom, you know what I'm talking about. Living vicariously through your children. That's why you want them to do so good in sports and all these things. You don't realize it. But you won't be able to say, that's my boy. That's my daughter. Yeah, that's my kids right there. Right hand, left hand. That's them. That's them sons of Zebedee. That's my boys. She had a part in that too. Self-seeking. And you know, it has a way. Pride has a way. I don't know about you, but in my life, of making its way to the top. I can stomp it out and try to make it look and clean it up as good as it can. And you know what? It's still pride a lot of time. When I boil it down, some of the things I do, if I'm not careful, that's the motivation for it. We need to learn that that's not greatness in the kingdom. That's the power play. But then also, look next is the self-serving ambition. Look at 22 through 24. And he said this, and this is the second wrong. This is the way men seek it. We've already talked about that, the self-serving ambition. And Jesus turns to them directly, and what does he say? You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? He turns to them directly. He turns away from mom and says, oh, you don't know what you're asking here. You think there's a crown waiting on you, but there's a cross, okay? There's a cross before the crown. you to see they had no idea about the request. Why, that cup that he speaks about, that's the cup of, we know that will be his crucifixion, the cruelness that he'll have to endure. We know that the cup is the very wrath of God that will be poured out on the sons because of the sin of all mankind. There's nobody else that could take that, by the way, except the pure, plain, and untouched Son of God. Nobody else but one that could take the wrath of God for all mankind. That was Jesus. And he said, you don't know this cup that you're talking about. Greatness in the kingdom is not through success. It's through suffering. And that's what he's letting them know. They totally didn't get it. Sometimes I wonder if we do. They totally didn't get it. Why would I say that? Look what it says. They said, we are. We're able. We're able to take it. Jesus, whatever. We just want that exalted position. You know what we want? We want the mountaintop without the valley or the climb to the mountain. That's what we want if we're honest. We don't want to go through the valleys to get to the mountains, do we? We want to go straight to the top. We don't want to be tested or tried. We want to stand on the plateaus with Jesus and holler, I love Jesus and he's so good. But I'm going to tell you, it comes through the valley and the suffering. And it goes through the climb before we ever get to the top. We're able. The same group in what? Less than a week? Be running for their lives, won't they? Running for their lives when it came time where we're to stand. Even old, I'll never deny you, Peter. Gone. I'm serious. That's how we are. Oh yeah, I'm able. I'm able to do whatever, Lord. Because we look at greatness in God's eyes through the eyes of men, the way that men get it. He says, listen, Jesus said, no doubt, and probably with great tenderness and compassion, what did he say to him? You will indeed drink my cup. You see, this was God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He knew how life would end for James and John. He knew that James would be the first martyr that got his head chopped off. Boom! James would drink the cup. He knew that John would be an old man in exile on the Isle of Patmos that would lose his life for Christ's sake. He knew they would drink the cup. Not the way that they knew, though. So with compassion, we hear him say, you'll indeed drink the cup. You'll be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized. They would suffer and die for the Lord, and he knew it. But then he goes on to say, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but for those to whom it is prepared by my Father. You know what? It wouldn't be on the basis of favoritism or ambition. That place of honor would be bestowed by the Father alone in his choice. Personal ambition is not a factor in God's plan, okay? Never is, never will be. And I want you to look at the others. What did it say? And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. I can't believe, can you believe James and John? Can you believe they're doing that, trying to get Jesus? You know what the problem was? It wasn't that they were righteous. It was that they was wanting those positions too. Okay? And most of us, that's the reason we get mad. Let's just be honest. We get all ruffled up because we wanted the same thing anyway. We just can't believe that they went to Jesus. Took Shalom. What a power play. We didn't have the cousin of Jesus or the aunt of Jesus. Why come? Can you believe them? How did they get that position? They pulled all those strings. We're the same way. They got upset. And it seems like that's the right response, but it's really, we know. Why do we know that? Because we know the rest of the story, and we know they argue up to it right up to the time that Jesus is crucified. Who's going to be the greatest? They all had the problem. What was the problem? Pride. They just wanted to be great. And Jesus, I love this. He uses it at a teaching moment. You know what he says? Come here, boys. Come on in here. Let's have a huddle. Game ain't going real good. Let's get together right here and let's refocus. But Jesus called them to himself and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are in great exercise authority over them. You know what he's saying? Hey, he said, don't be like the world. Don't be like the world. That's not where true greatness in the kingdom is. In that time frame, all your rulers were dictators. Most of them were tyrannical. They were tyrants. They just told people what to do. And listen, God, by the way. We just want to be able to tell you what to do, and you do it. Don't you ever question it. Woe to be to that, if that's what stands behind this desk, by the way. You guys that are preachers, you better watch it. It's not about dictating to people and being a powerful man that tells people what to do. It's about leading. It's about being a shepherd and being an under-shepherd of the great shepherd. What did he do? He laid his life down for the sheep. We've got to be careful where we're at and the positions God puts us in that we don't allow pride to come in and dictate. And so he's letting them know he's pulling them back in. He said, don't lord it over people. None of us are to lord it over. And all those, he said, who exercise great authority over them. These great men is really a word where high personal appeal. What's he talking about there? Controlling others by personal influence. Listen, they're using their powers for popularity and this personality that they can reach out. Charismatic leader. We see that in the end times, by the way. When, who was it? The Antichrist shows up. And that's how he wins the world, through this charisma, through this attractive appeal, through popularity and personality, through flattery, listen, and charm, and attractiveness. We that look good, we got to be careful. Come on, you got to laugh about that. No, seriously, you don't use your personalities. People have, there's very charismatic people, and very charismatic leaders, and personality to use it to get ahead. It's all about us again. And Jesus said, that's how ruler, that's how the world does it. Don't you do it like that. The church has to be guarded against this type of leader. Christ must be the end, and God, the gospel must be the means, always. That's the way man does it. First, lastly, I want to say God's way to greatness here. Look at verses 26, 28, some of the most powerful, most beautiful verses in all the Scriptures. Remember the context. Remember where he's headed. Listen when he says, yet it shall not be among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What beautiful verses. Simple, clear. I want us to see two things in these before we finish. First is the principle. Look what it says. 26, 27. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. He's turning the world's way upside down, is he not? Self-promotion, self-serving. It's not that. It's promoting others, promoting the Lord. The world's way of greatness, if you think about it, is a pyramid. You've built your power and structure on lesser men or women. The Bible inverts that. You bear the burdens of lesser people upon your shoulders. You become the servant. You become the slave for God's glory. The greatness is not in pleasing ourselves, but pleasing God. It's not this idea of self-giving. It's and not self-serving, but self-giving of ourselves unto each other, unto God. God's greatness is through pleasing Him. It's allowing Him the greatness, everything that you do, to bring God honor and glory unto Him. And that's going to cause us, when we think about that, to treat each other differently, to treat our community different. It's going to cause us to look through the eyes of lens of God's eyes at everything. And when we get upset about certain situations or certain groups, look through the eyes of Christ. Lost or saved. That's all. It's out there. And reaching them with the gospel should be our greatest ambition. That word servant means, in Greek, is diakonos. It's the word that we get the term deacon from. Servants. That's what deacons. We're all to be diakonos, servants to each other and to our community and to our Lord. But he goes further than that. What? Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. That word doulos. That'd be a great ministry, by the way. Doulos ministry. Bond servant is what it means. You say, what are you what's he talking about? It's the least menial job that a servant could have. It's the one that opened the door and washed the feet. He said, be a slave. You say, how far does Jesus mean to take that? Well, he showed you on that night before his crucifixion when he got up from the table and he took the towel and he took the basin. And what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. Oh, my goodness. You're talking about only the cross would be greater when God stooped down and he washed on nasty, dirty feet. I don't know about you, but one day God stooped down and washed an old dirty sinner's heart. And he told me to serve other people. And he called me. He said, be a servant. Be a slave. That's not greatness in man's eyes, but that's greatness in his eyes. Whew. Comes with a cost, because I want you to see the pattern here. The cost is true greatness is humble, selfless, sacrificial service. Look at the pattern. What did he say? Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. What Jesus says about himself should also be characterized by his followers. You know what he's saying? I'm your perfect pattern. That old phrase, what would Jesus do? Had a good friend of mine today talked about a tough situation in the church that he's going to have to face today. And he was going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it with humility and love. I said, that's how Jesus would do it. If we would just do things the way Jesus would do, we wouldn't get in half the trouble we get in. Let's just be honest. If we would use him as our supreme pattern, what would the world look like? I'm going to tell you, it would change Todd. It would change Boone. It could change North Carolina. It could change the world if we would just use him as our pattern and follow him. My attitude should be his attitude. My kind of living should be his kind of living. You want to be great in the Father's eyes? Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. The Son of Man did not come to be served. Jesus is an supreme example of humility. He and servanthood, what did he do? He owned it all. Is that not what the Scripture said? Through him and by him all things were created and all things are sustained. Every breath you have, every beat of your heart, he owns that. And yet, what did he do? He laid it down. He laid it down. Why? That one day, when you leave this old world, and it will happen sooner or later, if you've received Jesus Christ, you'll go to be with him forever. And I'm going to tell you what, that's going to be a hallelujah moment. You might not be much of a hallelujah right now, but you will be. I promise there'll be some amens and shouting going on, and probably a little dancing. Woo-hoo! That's right. Too dignified. That's what our problem is. I'm going to tell you what. You asked old Miss Sandy last night when them Tar Heels finally gutted it out. Woo! How much more so shall I be saying, praise unto God for what he's done unto us. It lasts for eternity. Not just a ball game or a national championship, but forever and ever and ever. And should I not be of him my life, my very best? Should I not reach out to others in Jesus' name and say, let me tell you about a Savior. Let me tell you about that problem you're going through. Who can fix it? Let me give you something that you can never lose. Whew. I tell you what, this place ought to be rocking on Sundays. It should. Why? Because we grasp the greatness of the one that we serve. He gave his life a ransom for many. You know what he did? He exchanged his for ours. This is the path to true greatness. He exchanged his life for our life. I'm going to tell you, that don't sit well in our culture. It don't sit well when people tell you to sacrifice yourself for others. Jesus said, if you're ever going to be truly great, that's what we're going to have to do in his kingdom. Applications are going to be done. Number one, listen. Which greatness do you desire? Say, Dave, what kind of Pastor Dave, what kind of question is that? Which greatness do you desire? How are you going about greatness? It answers the question. Are we doing it the world's way? Or are we doing it God's way? And secondly, what is the pattern you're following? Linda, come and play. What's the pattern you're following? What pattern is it that you line up with? You say, it's very easy. Are you lining up with Jesus? Is your pattern whenever you make decisions, whenever you speak to others, whenever you get upset, Does your pattern follow Jesus or does it follow the way of the world? What does the world tell you to do? Get even. Be vindictive. Take care of yourself because nobody else will. What pattern are we following? Lastly, let's stand to our feet. Do you have a heart like Jesus? Do you have a heart like Jesus? What does a heart like Jesus look like, Pastor? This. Willing to give his best to receive the world's worst. Do you have a heart like Jesus? Do you just going through the motions? Or do you truly desire to see him do something great in others' lives? In your church's lives? In your community's lives? In the world's lives? Brittany, come and sing. When she starts singing, however God's spoken, listen, if you don't know this Christ we're talking about today, what a day. You say, you know what? I just know that I don't have that peace in my heart. I don't have that direction. In fact, I'm trying to get ahead the way the world does it. And I just want to right now today lay my life down to Christ and ask Jesus into my heart. This is the day's your day. Just come forward. Or maybe you say, you know what? My heart, I'm just so... I've watched the news so much, I'm just aggravated with the world. And I hate my culture. I hate these people. And they've become your enemy. Guess what? Not flesh and blood. We don't war against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers of dark places. Your enemy is not whoever group's over there that's aggravating you. It's Satan. And if you get your eyes off of that, you'll become a bitter person. And bitterness is not of the Lord, I promise you. Whatever the Lord's saying, listen, when she starts singing, just come forward, talk to God.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
Surrender all today. Well, that's big words to see. You better mean it. What does that mean, Preacher David? Being a servant, being a slave unto the Master.
All to Jesus I
you need Christ.
Surrender.
Right there in your place. You don't have to come forward, but it sure does mean a lot. You just say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I'm asking Christ into my heart. Forgive me. I receive you today. But I promise you, if you do that, you'll let somebody know. If you need to come forward, come forward. Receive Christ. We're going to let these finish praying. What would God have you do? Listen, if you leave here, you don't have a game plan. You've heard me say, you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Your life has to have a purpose and a plan. And it's more than just going in and earning a living in the morning, paying the bills. It's bringing glory to God's kingdom and bringing homage to the Master. You leave here with a game plan and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to live for you. Give me the opportunity. Invite somebody to church. Tell them about Christ. Whatever, however I can minister to the people around me. He's made you a missionary right where your feet are at and where it'll be in the morning. Don't miss that opportunity. Listen, we're going to pray. I love you. Anything in any way that I can ever help you, I'm here. But you know what? We need to serve the Master. Time, as Donnie was talking about today in our Sunday school lesson, this is our time. Our time to serve the Master. Let's not do it just the same old way. Go through the motions. Let's make a difference for the kingdom and God's sake. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. The women will be having their time. Bible study. Men will be having a great Bible study in here. Come back, 6 o'clock. Spend time with us. Donnie, you'll pray for us.